Good morning, everybody. Welcome to First Christian Church on this sunny January day with a gentle breeze blowing outside, at least for the next few minutes. We are glad to see you here. I'd like to ask you to please sign the friendship sheet and pass it to your neighbor. And we'll go through a few announcements. Be sure and check the insert in your bulletin for anything that you need extra details on. Diaconate training is today. It's following this service, and it's going to be right here in the sanctuary. Tammy and Wanda will have some good information for all the diaconate, and I think you'll also fill in your schedule for the coming year. Next Sunday, two Sundays, Super Bowl and the Super Bowl of Caring. Bring your soups. The youth will set up downstairs for the two teams who will be competing. And this year, the soup goes to Restoration Church and The Link. Restoration Church provides lunches for high school students throughout the year, and this is a very worthy cause. Are there any other announcements? I know Amber has one.
Good morning. Hey, I wanted to let you know that my barbershop group, the Oil City Slickers, will be doing Singing Valentines all day on February 14th. You get two love songs and a long stem rose and a personalized card for $40. So if you would like to have song to your beau or beauette, come and talk to me after church, and I will set you up. Thanks.
And we learned a new word today for the English language. One other thing I will mention, and the details are in the bulletin, the point in time count is coming up soon. It takes inventory of the homeless in each state. They need a lot of help. There's a lot of ways to volunteer. So please see the phone number in your bulletin if you have time to volunteer. With all that said and done, let's stand and greet each other, and then we will sing our first hymn, which is on the back of your green insert.
Time to go play some songs. Everybody. 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 Everybody.
Please join me in the call to worship. Eternal God, you are the light of the minds that know you.
The joy of the hearts that love you.
And the strength of the wills that serve you.
Grant us so to know you, that we may truly love you.
So to love you, that we may fully serve you. God of grace, this morning we open our hearts and minds to your presence, and we thank you for allowing us to dwell in your kingdom. We come to you with praise and thanksgiving for your mercy and forgiveness, and we worship you as we join with all Christians to glorify your holy name. Come into our hearts, inspire us, lead us, and hear us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please take out the purple Chalice Praise songbook and turn to page 155. We'll sing together, Walk in the Light. And you'll notice that verse 4 is the same as verse 1. So we'll sing the three verses and then go back to the beginning again. The children to come forward for a time of sharing this morning. Hi, Max. I like your t-shirt. I heard somebody had a birthday this week. Congratulations, Evan. You're 12 now, is that right? Mom and Dad, one more year till the teenagedom begins. Happy birthday. I have a question for you all to think about. How can we share God's light with other people? Any ideas? How can we share God's light with other people?
By blocking out the sun so other people can see?
We can look at the sun, and if the sun is too bright for people, we can block part of it so it doesn't hurt their eyes. Very good. We can help people see in the sunlight so they don't trip or fall. What an excellent answer, Max. What do you think, Caleb?
We can invite our friends and other people to our church.
Excellent. Invite our friends and other people to come and join us at church, because we share God's light here. We share God's light when we light the candles, but we also share God's light in our hearts. When we talk about God and we sing about God, that's a way of sharing God's light. So if we invite people to church, we're sharing God's light with them. What about if we do something that's helpful to someone? If somebody's hungry, we give them something to eat. Is that a way of sharing God's light too? Yeah? Anything else you can think of right off the top of your head? Help share God's light? We have a couple ministries here at church that very intentionally try to share God's light with people outside of the church. Are you looking at the lights up here? One's lit and one's off because that light bulb's out. Yeah, Cal knows that. It's just way high up there. We're actually kind of waiting for that light bulb to burn out, and then we're going to trade them both. Yeah. You know, sometimes we're kind of like that. Sometimes we're good about sharing God's light, and our lives are bright, and people look at us, and sometimes we're like that burned out bulb. You know, people look at us, and they don't really see God. It's part of why we come to church, to get our bulbs recharged so we're ready to share God's light. Well, one of the ministries that our church does that helps people outside the church is the sandwich ministry and the blanket ministry. And they were specifically started to help people who were homeless, and they've expanded to help other people who are hungry. And next Friday, there is going to be a whole gathering for people in our county who are homeless. They're all invited to come to King's Corner, downtown behind the Methodist Church. There'll be hot food. They can have breakfast or lunch or supper. There'll be a veterinarian there if they have a dog that's sick that they need to get taken care of. There'll be all kinds of services available for people. And one way that our church is helping with that is by handing out blankets. So if there's someone who's sleeping in their car and they're really, really cold, we're going to give them a blanket. Yesterday, our blanket ministry group met. There were 9 people here, and they made 12 blankets. Do you guys want to feel how soft those are and how warm those are? Isn't that amazing? They are so soft. We are going to have a prayer of blessing for these blankets. We're going to ask God that whoever receives them will be blessed by these blankets, that their bodies will be warm and that their hearts will also be warmed. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask your blessing to be upon this gift of blankets, that your love might be shared through them, that your love might shine in people's lives because of them. God, we pray especially for the homeless in our community during this cold winter season, that you might keep them warm and safe, help them to find work and food and shelter. Bless these blankets and those who receive them. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. Y'all want to put the blankets back in front of the table, and then you can go to Children's Church and Sunday School. Thank you. I think it goes with the blankets. Thank you, children, for helping us pray for those blankets. Today, our youth group is leading worship and wonder this morning, and Jennifer Grahams is teaching the Sunday school class. On the back of your bulletin, you'll find a list of prayer concerns. As we lift these up, I encourage you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you. Write a note to someone who needs to know you're praying for them in worship today, and then place that card in the offering tray later in the service, or take the card with you and deliver it yourself personally. Our card shower this morning is for Marie Robertson. She is at home under hospice care. We pray for Marie and her children, Monty and Sue and Grace, that they might be comforted at this time. The Burgesses have asked for prayers for their son-in-law, Daryl Peterson. He suffered a heart attack. He lives in Sheridan. Prayers of healing. And Rita Peterson has asked for prayers for her daughter, Frankie, who was in the hospital last weekend with pancreatitis, and she's struggling with other issues and looking for work. John Lansing's sister-in-law, Mary Catherine Lansing, passed away this week. Prayers of comfort for their family. And two prayer concerns brought forward from the sandwich ministry. Joe, one of the folks who's been receiving sandwiches for a while, has moved to the Dakotas. He has health issues and has gone to stay with family. Prayers of healing for him. And Ben, who was a regular at the sandwich ministry and loved helping out, Debbie said he was always full of energy and would bounce in the door. He had a very severe fall in July, and since then his health has declined significantly. He is now at Poplar receiving nursing care. He has a blood clot in his lungs, and they are not sure if he will recover or not. He is not even able to feed himself at this time. We're thankful that he's receiving care, and Debbie asks us to pray for Ben. The missionary we're lifting up this morning is Nate Bailey, who works in Israel and Palestine. Prayers of blessing upon those ministries. And our regional prayer partner, there's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you're encouraged to sign. We're sending greetings this week to Reverend Dora Devan, who was ordained a week ago yesterday at First Christian Church in Loveland. She is beginning her ministry as an ordained Disciples of Christ pastor. Prayers of blessing for her. Are there other concerns today or joys that we want to lift up? Tricia. And what was the family's name?
Amador.
Prayers for the Amador family following a car accident and a death of one of the parents, is that correct? And they have a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old. Prayers of 6-month-old. Prayers of comfort for those little ones. Darlene. Prayers for Stan, as he has knee surgery on Wednesday to fight an infection and then 6 to 10 weeks of recovery time before getting a new knee replacement. So it was a long haul last time, and it sounds like it might be even longer this time. Stan, our prayers are with you. Cindy. Prayers for 2 students who are struggling with very, very difficult situations at home and families that are not functioning well. Prayers for those students. And thank you for supporting them as a caring teacher. Carmen. And the baby's name is Cal. Prayers for Cal, who's 1 month old, who was life flighted to Denver with RSV. Paul.
Thanks to them for caring so many students around the state.
prayers of safety and gratitude for school bus drivers. Wanda? Prayers for all of those who are caring about Wanda's sister-in-law who died of cancer last Sunday, the daughter and two grandchildren left behind.
Prayers for my really good friend, Elizabeth Moon. She's been having a lot of cardiovascular issues lately. They're not entirely sure what's wrong, but she has been to the ER in the last week. And on top of that, she's also not allowed to work until they figure out what is wrong with her. And so prayers for her through this time.
Prayers for Elizabeth Moon, struggling with both health and work. All of these burdens on our hearts are made lighter when we share them with one another and lift them up to the Lord. Let's do that now in a time of shared silence. O God of grace and mercy, your light shines in our darkness. In the physical darkness of the world, God, your wisdom brought forth the sun and the moon and the stars. Your genius planted within human intellect the ability to discover the use of fire and electricity that we might find our way through the night. Spiritually, Holy One, there are times that we are still a people who dwell in darkness. We are tempted to turn to sin and away from your light. Forgive us and call us back. Lord, we pray this day for those who need the light of healing and the gift of hope. We pray for Daryl Peterson recovering from a heart attack, for Frankie, for physical and mental, emotional and spiritual health in her life. We pray for Joe and Ben, who have been blessed by the sandwich ministry and now face different struggles. Be with each one, O God. May your presence be evident in the point in time count on Friday, when agencies and churches work together to reach out to the homeless in our community. We pray for those who are looking for work, who long for shelter, who are hungry and hurting. And we ask, O God, for the courage to put hands and feet to our prayers. We lift up to you John Lansing, as he grieves Mary Catherine's death. We pray for Wanda and family and friends who are mourning her sister-in-law's passing. Lord, be with Elizabeth Moon, Madison's friend, as she struggles with health and because of that is unable to work. Bring her healing. God, we lift to you prayers of little baby Cal, born to Carmen's co-worker, life-flighted because of RSV, we ask for healing for this little one. We pray for two students of Mrs. Huckfeldt, whose home situations are disastrous. God, we ask you to surround these two students with helpful friends, with extended family, with teachers and fellow classmates, with others who care for them and will give them strength through such hard times. We thank you, God, for school bus drivers, for those who've answered the call to haul students safely, especially across winter roads in Wyoming. Keep them safe. We pray for the Amador family, grieving a sudden death, struggling now to care for a 4-year-old and a 6-month-old, overwhelmed with a sense of loss and heartache. Lord, surround them with your peace and give them strength. We pray for Stan as he goes for surgery on Wednesday. God, we ask that this procedure would bring an end to the infection that has plagued his knee. We pray for your healing hand to be upon him in the weeks to come in a period of recovery, so that in due time he may receive a new knee and have that surgery be fully successful. God, we pray for both Stan and Darlene in this period of waiting, of working towards healing. God, we lift to you prayers for Marie Robertson and others who are under hospice care. Comfort family members who cherish time together, knowing that days on earth are limited. Lord, we thank you for your call to all people, especially to those who claim the name Christian, that we might bear your light in the darkness of the world. We pray your blessing upon Nate Bailey serving as a missionary in Israel. And we ask your blessing upon Reverend Dora Devan, newly ordained to serve as a pastor in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. Whether missionary or minister, laity or clergy, Sunday school teacher or elder or deacon, whether pianist or singer or sandwich maker, O God, may all your people who do your work in this world bear your light to those who need it most. In the name of Christ, we pray and we live. Amen.
When we gather to celebrate communion, it's like a family mealtime. And we can pray, Lord, thank you for the hands that prepare this meal. And while we would be referring to the people who carefully prepare the trays and fill the cups every week, the more important hands involved in this meal are the hands of Jesus. His hands were pierced with nails as he died to pay the price for our sins. Jesus asks us to remember his body by eating this bread and to think of his blood as we drink this juice. Jesus allowed his hands to be pierced, his life to be given, because he loves us and he desires more than anything for us to eat with him and not just this weekly remembrance. He wants us to live with him forever and sit at the Father's table as his beloved children. Our communion hymn is number 381.
Yeah.
God loved us. Yet while we were sinners, Jesus gave himself to forgive us. All who believe in Christ are welcome to share in these gifts of God as they are passed from the Lord's table to each of us, that we might take into our own lives the love embodied at this family meal, blessed by Jesus' own hands. We remember the night when he met with his friends in the upper room. And while at table, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
O Lord, our God, we acknowledge that our faults and failures are many. We are not worthy to demand your attention, but we need your pardon and we need your peace. We need your light in our lives. We give thanks, O God, that our salvation is your gift. We cannot earn it. We can only receive it in gratitude. And so, as we pray that as we receive this bread and cup, our sins may be forgiven and our hearts committed to do your will. Amen.
Thank you.
Have you ever asked yourself, what good will my offering do? It seems so small compared to the needs of the world. Part of the beauty of God's power is the ability to draw together offertory gifts, which may seem small and seemingly insignificant, into a beautiful tapestry of love, healing, and hope. This seems consistent with the message Paul is conveying when he talks about the body of Christ. It takes all parts to make the body, each one significant, even when it doesn't seem so. As we give, let's focus on the whole, on the amazing amount of good our collective gifts can do. Then we can recognize as a body we are honoring God. We will now receive tithes and offerings, which together can do far more than we ever imagined. The diaconate will receive your gifts. Take our gifts, O God, and use them. Multiply their effectiveness and purpose. We bring them out of love for you, your church, and the mission you are calling forth. We ask your blessing on the church's mission, all who work for it, and all who will be touched by it. Amen.
Our scripture reading today comes from Psalms 27, verses 1 and verses 4 through 9. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn away your servant in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior.
Our second reading of Scripture today comes from Isaiah, the 9th chapter. In your Pew Bible Old Testament, you can find it on page 638. I'll be reading Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 4. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for that beautiful message in music this morning. Will you pray with me? Well, Lord, we thank you for the light of your word. And we pray that we may be blessed with understanding. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts. Bless the work of our hands, the light of our lives, that all may bring glory to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This is the third Sunday of Epiphany. Typically, as members of the Christian Church, disciples of Christ, we mention Epiphany on Epiphany Sunday. We talk about the Magi, and we remember the light that the star gave, and then we kind of move on, and we're done with that liturgical season. In other traditions, the celebration of Epiphany continues in the weeks leading up to Lent. The focus throughout Epiphany is on light, but the focus shifts from the light of the star that guided the Magi to the light of God revealed in the Messiah, in Jesus Christ. The Lord is my light and my stronghold. Of whom shall I be afraid, says the psalmist. There will be no gloom for those who were in anguish, says Isaiah 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. What a comfort it is for us to know the light of God when we dwell in darkness. This morning's text comes to us from the Revised Common Lectionary. The lectionary is a selection of readings from Scripture that rotates on a 3-year cycle. And every Sunday, churches of many different denominations hear the same texts. on any given week, there are four selections of scripture. There's an Old Testament passage from the prophets or the law, and there's a selection of poetry from the Psalms or Proverbs. From the New Testament, there's a gospel reading, and then there's another New Testament reading, often from one of the epistles. It's always interesting to me to notice the verses that are selected for lectionary readings, and just as interesting to pay attention to the verses that are sometimes skipped over or omitted. Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 4 that we just heard is a lectionary reading for Epiphany. Isaiah 9 is also read during the Advent and Christmas season, starting at verse 6. Listen to these words that I think are familiar, if not from Scripture, then from Handel's Messiah. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What beauty and comfort there is in that verse, and those expressions of the glory of God revealed in Jesus and known by many names. To understand today's reading, it might be helpful to set the few four verses we've heard in the larger context of Isaiah. And to understand Isaiah, let's look at the broader context of his life. The prophet lived probably about 700 years before the time of Christ, but his context began many generations before. You'll remember that the Israelites were held captive in Egypt as slaves. And then God sent Moses to stand up and speak to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And finally, Pharaoh set the people free by God's hand. They were led across the Red Sea, wandered through the wilderness for 40 years, and finally settled in the promised land, in the land of Israel, in close to the same geography of where modern Israel is situated. It was a long journey to get there, and once they arrived, the 12 tribes of Israel each had their own territory designated. You'll remember the 12 tribes of Israel came from the 12 sons of Israel. Jacob was renamed Israel. He had 12 boys, Benjamin and Joseph among them, Dan, Asher, Gad, Zebulun, and Naphtali. So the context of today's reading deals specifically with two tribes of the nation of Israel, Zebulun and Naphtali. The context of Isaiah 9 actually begins in chapter 8. When we're told of the warning of an Assyrian invasion. The Assyrians invaded Israel from the north. That means that the nations, the tribes, the part of the nation of Israelites that were at the north, they got hit first and hard. 8:22 says, "They will turn their faces upward, or they will look to the earth. The people of Israel are looking everywhere for hope, but they will see only distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness." That gloomy, sad, warning, depressing verse is what leads into, "But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish." Isaiah is setting up the contrast that Naphtali and Zebulun, who had been attacked first, in the future, those same people will be the first to see the light of the Messiah. In the latter time, God will make glorious the way of the sea, the land between the Jordan, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. You'll recall that Jesus, after being born in Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth. His early ministry was centered around the Sea of Galilee. That was where he was preaching and teaching, feeding the multitudes and healing the people. Those who had known the greatest suffering received the first glory of the Messiah. It's often those who live in the greatest darkness who are most thankful for the gift of light. It's those who are hungriest who are the most thankful for the gift of food. Think about it. If you are well fed, you've just sated your body with a full meal, you'll probably wait for perhaps the gourmet shrimp or cheesecake to come your way before you take a second or third or fourth serving. But if you have not eaten anything for 3 or 4 days, even the offering of a slightly squished peanut butter and jelly sandwich that's been hauled from one church to another seems like an incredible, wonderful banquet meal. Those who are hungriest are the most thankful for food. Those who have lived in the worst darkness are the most thankful for light. Those who have been crushed by despair most need the gift of hope. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. It's interesting, I think, to pay attention to these lectionary readings that in Epiphany, we hear Isaiah 9, 1 through 4. In Advent, we hear Isaiah 9 starting at verse 6 and moving forward from there. Praising a child born to us, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. A beautiful verse. Did you notice, though, it skipped over verse 5. Well, if you actually read verse 5, you can't blame those who put together the lectionary readings for just omitting it. It's not really a very cheery passage that, well, you want to hear at church on a Sunday morning. Listen to this. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. It kind of turns your stomach if you haven't had breakfast yet. No wonder they just kind of omitted that. Let's hear about light in the darkness and Epiphany. Let's hear about a child born to us in Advent and forget that verse 5. But in the context of Isaiah 9, it makes sense. In the context of a prophet who was sent to talk to people who knew what it was like to be oppressed and to be at war, the verse has significant meaning. The residents of Zebulun and Naphtali, who lived in the northern part of the land of Judah, they were the first ones invaded time and time again by the Assyrians. They fought the hardest and suffered the most casualties. When one battle ended, the soldiers trudged home and took off their sandals or their boots and set them aside. They pulled off their garments and tried to wash out the blood, but it wouldn't all come clean. And then a few months, a few years, a few weeks later, the Assyrians would be back. They'd put on their boots again, throw on that bloody cloak, and head out to the battlefield. It is only when the battle and the war have ended that you finally get to get rid of those boots and that bloody uniform. When not just the battle, but the war is over. When the Messiah has come and peace reigns supreme, when swords are beat into plowshares, then the soldiers no longer need those bloody uniforms, and those garments are burned as fuel for the fire. The sandals, the boots that they wore that had leather-thin soles from tramping back and forth on the battlefield can finally be discarded and never put on again. As gruesome as it sounds to our modern ears, verse 5 is actually a victory song, a proclamation that the war has ended for all time. Perhaps that's why we don't hear it on Sunday morning. Perhaps it's an indirect confession and admission that war isn't over yet. As much as we long to follow the Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Messiah of the world, as much as we want God's kingdom to come here on earth, it is still incomplete. As much as we long to be people of light, we still live in a world of darkness. So we acknowledge the war isn't over yet. The soldiers don't get to burn their uniforms. We can't turn all the tanks into flower planters, though how we wish we could. Perhaps that's why what sounds like a bloody verse but is actually a song of victory is omitted from the lectionary readings. There are times that we, who claim to be people of light, actually live in darkness and we don't even know it. Sometimes it starts gradually. It just seeps into the corners of our lives. We get busy and we give up time for prayer to do something else that just seems important in that moment. It's not that we're intending to forsake God. It's just, well, life is busy, right? We skip church one Sunday because somebody else will be there in our place, and a few weeks go by, and then we think, well, no one called to say they missed me. It must not matter if I come or not. And before you know it, we're out of the habit altogether of connecting with a church family that can offer us support and strength and light in our own darkness. The darkness begins to grow, and we don't even notice. I've talked before with people who've had the experience of having a cataract removed. When the cataract first starts to grow, you don't even really know that's what's happening. Your vision just gets a little bit dimmer, and you tell yourself, well, it's because of my age, it happens to everybody. Okay, so things are a little bit blurry. It's not bad, I can still see. And time goes by, and things are a little more fuzzy, a little more hazy. And before you know it, the kids or the grandkids make the observation that you've been complaining, that it's harder to read than it used to be, or harder to drive than it used to be. So, Mom, Grandma, Grandpa, why don't you go see the eye doctor? Just get it checked. You make that appointment, you go in, and the ophthalmologist says, yep, congratulations, you've got a cataract. Welcome to the club. You live with it for a while because you don't want somebody messing around with your eyes, but eventually it gets bad enough that you think, okay, I'll have something done about this. I remember the very first time that I actually watched a cataract removal procedure. I was living in Kentucky. There was a woman from the church who needed someone to drive her to the doctor because she wouldn't be able to drive home afterwards. So I took her in to the eye doctor's office for this simple procedure. I was sitting in the waiting room. One of the attendants came out and said, would you like to watch the procedure? I was young and curious and said, sure. She walked over to a TV, flipped a button, and the screen came to life, and I could see a close-up of what the doctor was doing back in the room where my friend was. It was a very simple little thing to make this tiny little slit in the front of the eye and pop out what looked like a foggy, white, kind of hard lens sort of thing. And just like that, it was over. A little while later, she came out of recovery, and I drove her home. She had to rest a bit and take care of her eyes, but we talked later on, and she said, it's amazing. I had forgotten how bright the colors are in the world. Everything had gotten dim so gradually, she hadn't even noticed until the cataracts were gone and the world was light and bright again. Sometimes sin is a little bit like that, you know? It just fogs over our spiritual lens just a little. We don't even notice. We don't bother. And then it gets cumulatively worse. Sometimes we get so used to walking in the darkness, we don't even think about it. Charles and I have a small historic home close to Casper College up on 17th Street. He likes to tell people that we're like hobbits. Our bedroom is downstairs in the basement, so we live below ground. It's really convenient in the winter. We don't have to turn the heat up high, don't have to worry about air conditioning in the summer. But it's kind of dark. Our bedroom just has a window that's at ground level, but it's just a small window up high, so it doesn't let in much light. It's good for sleeping. It's nice and dark at night. I've gotten perfectly used to where our bed is and how to get out of my side of the bed, walk around the corner, across the floor, through the door, in the middle of the night when nature calls and my bladder is full. I can find the bathroom probably without even opening my eyes. I'm just used to doing it. Well, one night this week, Charles didn't sleep well. I think it was probably the combination of his wife tossing and turning in bed next to him with a CPAP mask that blows all night long, and the dog coming in to sniff and see what was happening before going back out to sleep, and the not one but two cats who that night decided to jump up on the bed and sleep right in between us. The next morning, he said it just wasn't a good night. He said, "I think in order to sleep well, I need to kick everybody out of the bed, except you, honey, you can stay." I was very thankful. I think I was pretty close. So that night, we agreed. We wouldn't let the cats in the bed. We'd close the door, make sure the dog stayed outside. We both settled in for the night. Sure enough, due to my usual routine, at some place in the middle of the night, oh, dark 30, I got up and headed, as I always do, straight for the bathroom, got out of bed on my side of the bed, walked in the dark, around the corner, crossed the floor, straight smack into the bedroom door. I was so used to walking in the darkness, I didn't even think about the door being closed. I was just headed straight for the bathroom. Wham, right on my nose. I'm lucky I didn't break it or bruise it. It's still a little tender this morning. Sometimes we're so used to walking in the darkness that we don't even pay attention anymore to where we're going. We just do what we're used to always doing, unaware that it has nothing to do with God's purpose for our lives, what God wants us to do. We are called to be people who walk in the light of God. When we're together in community, God's light shines. When we care for one another, when we share our lives, when we pray for each other, when we ask other people to pray for us, God's light shines in those relationships. When we're generous, when we take the food that we have and we share some of it with someone who's hungry, God's light shines. When we're made aware that someone else is struggling and we do what we can to lift their burden just a little, God's light shines. But of course, we have a choice, because Jesus is a gentleman. He knocks and then waits to be invited into our hearts. It's up to us to say, "Lord of light, please come and dwell in me." We can just as easily go right on living in the darkness, pay no attention to God. The choice is ours. But the promise is a good one. There will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For all the boots of the tramping warriors will be burned as fuel for the fire, and peace will come. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders. He is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward forevermore. May it be so for the people of God. May we walk in the light of Christ and carry that light into a world of darkness, that it may be so for all God's children. Amen and amen. Our hymn of dedication today is number 66 in your Red Chalice Hymnal, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. As we sing this morning, there may be someone who has a burden on your heart that you want to share in prayer with this community. There may be someone who needs to rededicate their life to God or ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior for the first time. There may be someone looking for a church home ready to place your membership here at First Christian by confession of faith and baptism or transfer of membership. If any of those statements apply to you, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing together, number 66. To our deacons that there will be a time of training here in the sanctuary. I think there's time for you to go downstairs first and get a cup of coffee. There's a time of fellowship available for all of our members and visitors today. Some refreshments downstairs. We hope that you'll join us. Wanda, do you want the deacons to just stay here, or you want them to have like 5 minutes for coffee and then come back? Okay. So just come back about 11:30 for your training if you're on the diaconate. And visitors, we hope that you'll join us for a cup of coffee and a minute of conversation before getting on with your day. Lord Jesus, ruler of light, shine in our lives as we go forth, that your peace may dwell in us, your love flow through us, and your light shine through us for all to see. In Christ's name, amen.